We change subjects in this final segment of today's exchange and bring the focus back to our region. A couple of recent news items from the Yurok tribe originate in our part of the world, but one of them certainly radiates outward, and that is the decision by the tribe to file a lawsuit last week against the makers of opioid painkillers, the scourge of many a rural community around the country, Yurok Nation included. The lawsuit follows by a few days the news of the tribe reaching a deal to protect Blue Creek, a tributary of the Klamath River, and its watershed. Amy Cordalis is the general counsel of the Yurok tribe, and she's back here to talk about both. Thanks for joining us, Amy.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me. Sure, good to have you again. Let's start with the RICO suit and what prompted the tribe to file. I mean, how big an impact do opioids have on Yurok people?
The impact of opioids on Yurok people has been significant. We started to hear reports from our community that opioid addiction was growing throughout our service area, which really includes all the way from Brookings down to Eureka, so both Del Norte and Humboldt counties. And so the tribe started working on collecting data to understand the scope of the problem. And what we discovered is that Del Norte and Humboldt counties have some of the highest opioid usage rates in the whole country. So it's a significant problem, not only for our tribal membership, but for the county at large. And we dug deeper into the problem and realized that throughout both counties, there are enough opioid pills being prescribed for every baby, child, man, and woman in the county to have over one opioid pill a day. So clearly there's some issues with that, and we decided it was time to try to put a stop to that.
Is there a black market, too, or is the major concern just the prescribed opioids?
I think it's both. Certainly, we're concerned about there being pill mills. We're concerned about even the prescribers not understanding the scope of the problem. We're concerned about the black market. But I think the gist of it is that the pharmaceutical companies and the distributors and the manufacturers have made misrepresentations about the addictive nature of opioids, and that leads people to not understand how dangerous these pills are. And so, you know, while a person who has legitimate pain may start with a prescription, what tends to happen is that an addiction forms, and then that can lead to, more and more taking of pills. And then, frankly, what we're starting to see is that then is a slippery slope into other drug abuse issues like heroin.
Are you getting situations like with heroin and fentanyl showing up among
the Yuriks? That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have talked in the program before about the Yurok tribal justice system, and Judge Abby Abinante has been on the program before. I understand she played a key role in the tribe's response to the opioid epidemic.
She did, and in part that's because she works very close with our community members who are struggling, and she sees them in our court. And she had a very good understanding of what's happening in our community. And so she shared that with our tribal council. She shared that with my office. And she is, you know, just a strong leader and has tremendous, networks throughout the country. And so she was able to, kind of identify this problem and get the political support within the tribe to understand that we needed to take action and then bring the resources to the tribe to make that happen.
So, you know, expressing a need and a frustration about that need is one thing. Filing a lawsuit is another. I mean, how did the kernel of the idea emerge to file not just a lawsuit, but a RICO suit? This is a racketeer-influenced and corrupt organizations lawsuit.
Right, amongst other claims as well. There's a movement throughout the country to try to address the opioid problem through litigation. And so the tribe observed some of the other lawsuits that are occurring over in Ohio and federal court. And within my office, we thought very hard about the strengths of Yurok's potential claims and decided that it was in the best interest of the tribe to pursue those claims. And our hope is that we'll be able to bring resources back to our community, back to Del Norte and Humboldt counties, to support treatment, because the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we as the tribal government and also the counties have a duty to, you know, support these folks. And so we want to bring resources back to the community to help people get better.
Amy Cordalis is the general counsel for the Yurok tribe. We're talking about the suit the tribe filed against opioid manufacturers last week. It's a long list. I mean, Purdue Pharma, which developed the original OxyContin. We got Cephalon Pharmaceuticals, Teva Pharmaceuticals, Johnson & Johnson. It's a long list. I could probably spend the rest of the hour reading it. Long slog ahead of you, though. All of these pharmaceutical companies have good and expensive lawyers.
Yep. They do. But it's not the first time the Yurok tribe has stepped out and taken on fancy suit lawyers, and it certainly won't be the last time.
So you mentioned resources. I mean, we're talking about you're trying to get some money for treatment. Is this the general approach?
Well, not necessarily. Well, money certainly would be part of it for resources. You know, what happens is that you can't just come in and cut off the pill supplies without having treatment. Suboxone is a medication that's used in order to get folks off of the opioid pills and then transition into, you know, not needing that anymore. And so we'd like to be able to set up clinics on the reservation in order to help with that transition. A lot of our membership, you know, they live in very rural areas at the top of the reservation, and frankly, they need help with transportation to medical facilities to try to get help. So very basic services of just trying to put the infrastructure together to respond to this problem in a good way. So that's what we're seeking to do.
You mentioned Suboxone. Is this a medical treatment like methadone, where you replace the addiction with something else that's less fun?
Indeed. And then you gradually, lower those doses, and it helps people transition off of the opioid.
So the filing was just official last Monday, March 12th. Have you had any responses? I mean, kind of early, I guess, in the game to hear of anything back from motions filed by any of the defendants in the tribal lawsuit. So I can't imagine you have heard anything at this point.
We haven't.
Okay. Amy Cordalis, let's move on and talk about the Blue Creek acquisition. The tribe gets 9,000 acres of land. Let's talk about the importance of the area.
So the importance of the area could never be stated in a quick interview. But what I will say is that it is a key location to both our religious beliefs and also to salmon on the Klamath River. Blue Creek is the first tributary going up the river from the mouth of the Klamath River. And it's biologically incredibly important for the salmon. It's got a cold water refuge that goes underneath sort of the base of Blue Creek, right, as it hits the Klamath River, and then that cold water juts up into the main stem of the Klamath. And as a result, often when the salmon are coming up the river, they stay in the pool where that cold water is, right there at the mouth of the Klamath. And that is extremely helpful for them in terms of their ability to make it further up the river to spawn or to go to the Trinity River, or the Shasta, or the Scott. So what the tribe intends to do there is to manage the land as a salmon sanctuary, and we're hoping to, do a lot of restoration work that will ultimately result in a salmon playground. And we're really happy about being able to do that, because as we've reported to you all, and as everyone in this area knows, Klamath River salmon are on the decline. We had a fishery collapse over the last 2 years, and we know that our fishing runs are they're not in good shape. And unless we take dramatic action to change our management practices throughout the whole basin, our salmon are going to go extinct. So the tribe is doing what it can to preserve those remaining fish runs and restore them. And the Blue Creek acquisition is a huge part of that.
What kind of shape is the creek in and the land around it? I mean, has there been any activity over the years, logging, whatever?
Yeah, so we actually, it's sort of complicated, but the gist of it is that for a long time, a logging company owned the land around the creek, and that land was, when the logging company was ready to dispose of that land, that's when the tribe, along with our conservation partners, came in and started discussing a potential deal for the tribe to purchase the land. And so it has been logged, parts of it. Some of it is in okay shape. Some of it really needs a lot of work. I think the bottom line is that there's definitely more restoration work that needs to be done in order to enhance the salmon or enhance the habitat qualities of the area for salmon.
You don't just approach this from a legal perspective, I understand. You fish the area yourself, is that right?
I love fishing Blue Creek. Yep, that's one of our favorite things that we get to do. Now, the tribe has always regulated fishing on Blue Creek, so we don't get to do it as often as we like. But it's the other reason, and this kind of brings me back to the other reason why Blue Creek is so important to the Yurok tribe is it's the what we call our stairway to heaven. So it's got some very significant religious qualities to us. It's where our people go in order to prepare for ceremonies and collect different medicines that we use in our ceremonies. And in order to do that, the area needs to be pristine and pure and, not developed and logged and all this other stuff. So it's been a long-term goal of the tribe to protect and to restore the area, not only for the biological reasons that I explained previously, but also in an exercise to be able to continue our religious practices there.
So this is not just a creek that runs through the mountains. This really runs through the history of the Yurok people.
Absolutely. And at the core of who we are as Yurok people, there's a belief that when the Creator made the world, everything was in balance, and that over, the last 300 or so years of development and non-Indian influence, that balance of the world has been thrown off. And that's something as Yurok people that we feel in our hearts where things aren't quite right. And so when we recover 9,000 acres in Blue Creek and when we know that we will be able to manage it in a way that brings back that balance, that then makes us start to feel whole again.
Go ahead.
And I hope that other people in the area who, believe in balance, and when we use that term, that's an ecological term as well, right? There's certainly a balance in how all of the other, plants and animals interact with one another. And so we hope that others feel that balance being restored as well.
So I noticed the Western Rivers Conservancy was one of your major partners with this. New Market mm-hmm. Tax Credit Program helped with this. Is this a partnership and a program that can be used again for other acquisitions also? Because I noticed that on the reservation, you don't even control all the land.
That's right. That's exactly right. And there's sort of two points there. Absolutely, I think this is a great model for other, entities that are interested in protecting the natural environment and protecting sacred sites. One of the interesting things, if you look at what's happening in tribal communities over the past even couple generations, is that, my family, my great aunties, my great uncles, my grandmas, my great grandmas, they always fought for our Aboriginal rights, fishing rights. That was the big fight in the 70s. And now my generation's battle is really conservation of the resource. We are fighting to preserve the remaining salmon so that we have something to actually use to exercise the right that my forefathers fought so hard to retain. And I think that's where the model of tribes and conservation groups working together is really a strong one at this point in time. Because, again, we're at this point where if we don't conserve our resources, they're not going to be around.
All right. 9,000 acres of the Blue Creek watershed back in the hands of the Yurok tribe. Amy Cordalis is the general counsel for the tribe. Thanks for joining us to talk about this and the RICO suit.